This podcast is brought to you by 24/7 Youth Ministry in Loveland, Ohio. 24/7 is the youth ministry of Living Word Fellowship. For more information, visit us at www.facebook.com/living247.
We are going to continue in our teaching series this morning, The Walking Dead. And if you haven't watched that show or you don't know what that show is, it's a very popular show that's on right now. It's basically a mini-series? I'm not sure. What is that? It's not a movie. It's just, they have different episodes and stuff like that. But it basically follows the life of this group of people, and there's this big zombie apocalypse that broke out on the earth, and you get to follow this group of people as they're trying to survive in this new world and different things. And it's an extremely popular show now. We watch it on Sunday nights. Yes, Caleb.
Can we watch the trailer for World War Z?
No, we're not going to watch the trailer for World War Z. But that is another one. That's true. There's another one. Caleb just showed us yesterday. I guess Brad Pitt is coming out with another movie in 2013 called World War Z, and it's pretty intense. It looks pretty intense. I think I'm going to see it. But it's like these guys. I don't know if they're like full on zombies or if the people are just sick in it. But like these people are like crazy. It looks insane. But anyway, Walking Dead. It's a show on TV right now, and it's a pretty intense show, and it's very, very popular. And so one of the things that I thought we'd do this month is kind of go through and use that as a bit of a basis to kind of talk around our spiritual life and how a lot of times, if we're not careful, we can kind of take on some characteristics of a zombie in our spiritual walk and our walk with God. There's a lot of parallels that we can see in Scripture and see in our own lives as to how zombies act and how we can tend to act in our life. And one of the things that I wanted to talk about this morning when it comes to that is there's a thing that I think that we do in our walk with God that is similar to a characteristic of a zombie, but we do it in reverse, okay? If you see any zombie movies, the zombies that are walking around, they used to be somebody, right? I mean, you can tell kind of almost every zombie movie, you know, when you see the zombies, they usually will have them dressed up in a particular way so that you can just look at them and get a sense immediately who they used to be, right? I mean, you'll see a mailman zombie, right? I mean, he's still got his full mailman uniform, and somehow in the midst of him doing his job, he was somehow bitten or whatever and instantly turned into a zombie. Didn't have time to go home and change his clothes, right? Still in his work uniform, but yet he's a zombie, right? Or you'll see a lady, and you can just tell by the way she's dressed that she used to be a mom, right? Or you'd see a guy in a full-on business suit, right? You can just tell, okay, that guy was a business guy, right? They used to be somebody in life, and something happened, and it changed them, and they've completely forgotten who they used to be. Right? They don't act like that person anymore. They completely have forgotten the person they used to be. And now they've changed into this creature, right, that just wanders around the earth trying to catch people and to do what a zombie does, right? A lot of times in our life, we do the same thing, only we do it in reverse. When we become a Christian, Scripture says that we become a new creature. We become a new creation. Our old ways are put to death. Who we used to be is put to death, and we are made new. That's Scripture. But so many times, just like a zombie used to be something, but doesn't act that way anymore, what we tend to do is we tend to still act the way we used to act and not be who we currently are. It's the same concept as what a zombie does, only we do it in reverse. We still hold on to all of those old ways. We still hold on to all of those old thoughts. And we don't get a sense of who God says we are now as a Christian. And that's vital in our walk with God. We need to understand who we are in Christ. We need to understand what God says about us, and we need to be able to walk in that every day of our life. And so many times we don't, because we don't really understand it. Or in sometimes maybe we don't, maybe it's not that we don't understand it, but sometimes we don't fully accept it. Because of what we, you know, what I was just praying this morning, sometimes we just don't feel worthy. Sometimes we don't feel worthy of God's love. Sometimes we don't feel worthy of who God says we are. And we're going to look at some scripture today. And I think that as we go through the scripture, there's probably going to be some stuff that's going to click with you. Honestly, there's going to be some stuff that's going to click with you. And I hope that it stretches us this morning. I hope that it's something that we can look at in scripture and that we can apply to our life and allow it to, number one, allow it to speak truth as to who we are. That when we leave this morning, we can actually hold on to that and realize who God says we are versus, number one, who we feel like we are or who the world says that we are. And I hope that when we leave this morning, we can kind of have a new light and new perspective on that and begin to walk in who God says that we are in our life. Okay? First thing I want to look at is, it's in the book of Matthew 16. How many of you guys have your Bibles? Or have your Bibles on your phone? If you have a Bible app, go ahead and get your phones out. We'll have it up on the screen too, but follow along. Matthew chapter 16. We're going to start in verse 13. We're going to go to verse 19. And there's an interaction that takes place between Jesus and his disciples. Okay? Jesus pulls his disciples aside one day. They're traveling and Jesus is doing his thing. He's teaching everything else. He pulls his disciples aside and he asks them this question. It says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? Now, for some reason, Jesus stops and he decides to take kind of an opinion poll, a popularity poll with his disciples. He's like, who do people out in the world, people that you encounter and stuff, who do they think I am? What's the popular opinion about who I am? That's the question that Jesus is asking his disciples. It says in verse 14, as soon as it goes to verse 14, thank you, Caleb. Says in verse 14, this is his disciples' reply. It says, well, they replied, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. Verse 15.
Sorry, it's not working.
It says, then he asked them, and this is kind of a key question right here. Then he asked them, but who do you say I am? He just asked them, what does everybody in the world claim about me? They say, well, this is what people in the world say that you are. Then he says, but who do you say that I am? And that is a key question for every single one of us. Who do we say Christ is? There's all kinds of popular opinions out there in the world that we're going to hear and that we're going to get from people around us, that we're going to get from people that we know. And they're going to have opinions as to who Jesus was. Some will say, he was just a good teacher. Some will say that, you know, well, he didn't exist at all. There's going to be all kinds of popular opinions, but those opinions don't matter. The opinion that matters is who we say Christ is. Who do we say that he is in our life? That's an important question, and that's the question that he asked his disciples. But who do you say I am? It says, Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. 17. Jesus replied, you are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock, and upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. So there's this interaction between Jesus and his disciples right there, right? He asked them first, who do people say that I am? They reply back, well, they say this and this and this and this and this. Then he says, okay, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter, one of Jesus' main disciples, steps up and he says, you're the Messiah. You're the Son of God. Peter automatically stands up and he says, this is who I claim that you are in my life. you are the Messiah. That is a bold statement. That's a very bold statement, but it's one that if you're a Christian, it's one that you have made. And standing up and saying, Jesus, I believe that you're the Messiah. I believe that you are the Son of God, and I believe that you are the only way that I can get to heaven. And it's through you and my life that I gain salvation and that I have access into heaven and that I have the ability to have a relationship with you. Christ, that's who I say you are in my life. That's an important, important statement. But the interesting thing about that is that when we read through the rest of those scriptures, what happens right after Peter says who Jesus is? Did you guys catch it? What did Jesus do at that point? Do what?
Was it the rock part?
Where he called Peter rock? Exactly. Jesus, see, Peter turned around and he said, Jesus, this is who you are. You are the Son of God. The moment Peter said that, Jesus turned around and he said, very good, Peter. Now I'm going to tell you who you are. That's one of the things that we constantly are trying to find out in our life. If we're honest with ourselves, we're constantly trying to figure out, who are we? Where do we fit in? Who are we? We put our value in so many things in our life, but very rarely do we put our value in who we are and what God says about us. If we're honest with ourselves, honestly, I can say the same thing. There's things that I put my value in that how I see my value, and it has nothing to do with what the Bible says about me. It has to do with what other people say about me. If I feel accepted by other people, I feel suddenly I'm a good person. I feel valued. But the moment somebody says something about me in a negative light, it can destroy me. It can destroy my personality. It can destroy my attitude. It can destroy everything about me because my value is placed in what they just said about me. So many times in our life, we're running after that. We're trying to find who we are. And unfortunately, we tend to look at those people around us, what they say about us. And that's what builds us up or tears us down in our value. We don't look at who God says we are. We hold to that old thing. When we become Christians, we still hold to that old way of life, that old thing of, well, my value is based on what kind of music I listen to. Because if I listen to this particular kind of music, then I'm accepted in this particular circle of friends, and then I feel valued. Or my value is based on how I dress. My value is based on how I talk. My value is based on what I do. But that's not where our value lies. Our value lies in what Christ says about us. And there's a big disconnect between that, because so many times we can feel extremely unworthy. And we can feel like our value is nothing most of the time. If we're really honest with ourselves, I think that a lot of us feel that way. I really do. I think sometimes we'll find our value in a guy or a girl. If we have a boyfriend or girlfriend, suddenly we can feel different about ourselves. We feel like, okay, I'm worth something because somebody likes me. But if I don't have a boyfriend or girlfriend, I feel like I'm not worth something because I don't have somebody out there that cares about me and doesn't like me. And we can't carry our value in our heart based on what God says. We're always basing it on what other people say about us. And that can be heartbreaking. That can hurt. That can hurt a lot. And what Jesus does to Peter right here, Jesus renames Peter and he says, Peter, because you said who I am, now I'm going to tell you who you are. You are Peter. He changed his name from Simon to Peter, which means rock. It comes from the Greek Petros. He changed his name to rock. That's what Jesus renamed him. Can you imagine Jesus coming to you and saying, okay, yeah, you used to be named Peter, but now I'm going to call you the rock because you are solid in who you are in me. And on you, I'm going to build my church. On this rock, I'm going to build the foundation of my church. That's a huge thing. And that's what God does with us, is he tells us who we are. But there's a huge disconnect between what we think about who we are and what God says about us. And it's interesting because a lot of times as a Christian, we can hold to some of the teachings around who Jesus says he was, and we can accept that pretty easy. I heard a teaching a couple of days ago, and it struck me with such a right between the eyes. I was like, oh my gosh, that is true, because I fall right into that category. And what I'd like to do is I want to run through one or two of the scriptures that the pastor had brought out in this teaching that I heard, because it hit me, and I believe it's going to hit you, because I think we all walk in this. That a lot of times as a Christian, we can say that we know who Christ is, and we can say that we know who Jesus is. And there's a lot of things that Scripture will say, and we'll read it, and we'll be like, yeah, I agree with that 100%. But then we'll turn around and we'll read the same type of Scripture about what Jesus says that we are, and we're like, nah, I don't think so. A prime example is this one. In John 8:12, I can't remember, did I put that one on there, Caleb?
Yeah,
okay. Jesus says this in John 8:12. He says, Jesus spoke again to the people and he said, I am the light of the world. Those who follow me will never walk in darkness. They will have the light that leads to life. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And I think everybody in here would be like, yeah, I agree with that. Jesus is the light of the world. He is the Messiah. He's the one that brings truth and peace into our life. I agree with that. I don't think anybody in here really would be like, no, that's completely false. I do not believe that. There's just something about it that we can say, yeah, I believe that. I believe that Jesus is the light of the world. The one that's harder to believe is what Jesus said in Matthew 5:14. He says this, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill can't be hidden. That one's harder to believe. We can grasp that Jesus is the light of the world, but Jesus himself said that we are also the light of the world. You know, Scripture talks about the fact that when we become saved, when we give our life to Christ and we make that confession, just like Peter did, of who he is in our life, that we are reborn spiritually and Christ comes and dwells inside of us. So we have Christ living within us. And so when Christ says that he's the light of the world and then we have him living in us, that's why Christ can also say that we are the light of the world. We are meant to be that image of who Christ is to other people around us. And so many times, it's easy for us to look and say, well, yeah, Jesus, I know you're the light of the world, but I'm not, because I know me. I know how I act, and I know what I say, and I know what I think. And there's a lot of times that I don't feel worthy of your love. I don't feel worthy to be able to say that you really, really care about me. Because I know me. It's easy for me to say, you, Jesus, are the light of the world. Or even easier for me to point to somebody else and say, yeah, they're a Christian, they're a great person, and I believe that they are light in this world. But sometimes it's hard for us to look in ourselves and say that we are the light of the world. Because we know how we act. And so many times we put our value on what other people say about us and not what Christ says about us. And that's a big thing. I think that when we become Christians, we fall into one of two categories, and maybe sometimes we fall into both categories. The first category is we still carry all that old guilt and all that old pain from our old life with us, and we can't let it go. All that old stuff that we regret that we did in our past, we still carry it. We ask for forgiveness. God forgives us. He cleanses our sins away, but yet we turn around and we pick up that satchel of all that guilt and that pain that we were carrying before, and we pick it back up and we just start carrying it with us, and we don't put it down. That's one category, I think, that we sin, that we walk in. And for some reason, we still feel worthless. We still feel like we can't be loved. We still feel like we're not valued. We still feel all those things because we don't accept the love that God actually has given to us and the things that God has actually said about us in his word. It's the same thing as, you know, it's the same concept, but just in reverse, in the sense that a zombie used to be somebody and now they're not. They've forgotten who they were. We have the same concept in the sense that we can't forget who we were. We can't let that go. We can't accept the fact that God has truly forgiven us and that's not who we were and who we are anymore. That's one category. The other category is we don't just not forget about that old person. We continue to be that old person. We ask for Christ to come into our life, and he forgives us. He cleanses all those things away out of our life. But for some reason, we continue to walk and be the same person we used to be. And that's another thing that can hurt us as a Christian. And I think a lot of times we can fall into one or the other, or in some cases, we can actually fall into both of those categories. Where Christ comes in, he forgives us completely, but yet we turn around and we still are carrying all that guilt, pain, and hurt of our past because we can't accept the fact that God has truly, honestly forgiven us and all that stuff is wiped away. And on top of that, we continue to still walk in our old ways. We continue to still move forward in our old ways. You know, there's a scripture in Romans, and I didn't put it in the thing here, but it was one that honestly I was in the middle. I was trying to go to sleep one night, and all of a sudden the scripture just hit my heart. The scripture hit my heart just out of the blue. And it was one, this isn't the one. This is actually going to be a different one, but this other one is actually, it's in Romans 2. It's in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. And it says this, "Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, in the light of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and pure worship. Do not conform any longer to the ways of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Then you will be able to test and know the will of God, God's holy, pure, and perfect will." Those scriptures hit me while I was sleeping, while I was trying to go to sleep one night, and I actually had to get my phone. I got on the Bible app and searched it out to try to get those particular verses, to get exactly how those were worded, because there was something that God was kind of, he's really been pulling in me about what he's wanting me to do. There's a specific thing that he's calling me to do, and honestly, if I'm honest with you, I'm struggling with it. Because it really pulls me out of my comfort zone, this thing that God is asking me to do. It's really pulling me out of my comfort zone. And so I looked up that scripture to say, okay, I know, God, that you're in your word, you talk about how to know your will. What exactly was it that you said? And so I searched that scripture out and found that it was Romans 12, 1 and 2. And it was interesting in the fact that before it says that we can know God's will, it says that we need to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. And what that means is, when we become a Christian, we cannot continue to live the same way we did before we were a Christian. There are certain things in our life that we have to put to death. We have to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. Maybe there's a certain group of friends that we can't hang out with anymore. Because every time we hang out with that group of friends, they lead us down a road that leads to something that we used to do that isn't honoring to God. And all it does is every time we fall into that same category, every time we fall into that same thing that we used to do, it leads to guilt and hurt and regret in our life. And so when we become a Christian, there are certain things that we got to put to death. We have to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice to God every day. And when we do, Scripture says that is our true act of worship to Him. To not just stand up here and sing a song during praise and worship, but to really worship Him with our body and our actions every single day of our life. And it's not something that we have to just do it all out of our own strength. Christ will give us the strength to help us to make those decisions. But we have to come to a place in our life that we're willing to step out and make those decisions for ourselves. God's not going to do it for us. He's not going to make us do it. We have to be willing to do it. And so many times, like I said, just like a zombie, it's the same concept. We just do it in reverse in the sense that we can't let go of who we used to be. Zombies don't remember who they used to be. We can't forget who we used to be. We tend to continue to walk in those same things. And inevitably what that winds up doing is it winds up causing us to not see and understand how much God truly loves us. Not see and understand what God has for our life. Because we continue to carry that old guilt, that old pain, that old hurt, and we can't let go of it. We continue to put our value in what people around us say about us. We put our value in our popularity at school. What does our rep look like at school? Because that's where I'm valued. That's where my value comes from. What do people say about me? What kind of sports do I play, and how good am I at that sport? And if I didn't have that sport in my life, I would feel utterly worthless. Because it's only through that sport, or it's only through that music, or it's only through that art that I can do in my life that I feel valued. I can't simply say, you know what? I'm who I am because of Christ. It doesn't matter what I wear. It doesn't matter what music I listen to. It doesn't matter what sports I do. It doesn't matter what activities I'm in. My value comes from God in my heart and in my life. That's who I am. That's the value that I have. And when we're able to get to that point, there's honestly a weight that's lifted, because you're not constantly obsessing over what other people are saying about you and the value that other people are putting on you. You can actually sit back and say, you know what? No, I'm who I am because of God, and God loves me. I'm not perfect, but I know that I'm loved by God, and I know, according to Scripture, with Him in me, I'm the light of the world. And through Him, I'm going to show love and compassion to those around me. And I'm going to be a good person. And I'm not going to carry this guilt and this hurt and this pain on me anymore. I'm going to let that go because I know God loves me and I know that He's forgiven me. And if He's forgotten it, I should forget it. I don't have to continue to think about that stuff anymore, because I'm clean and I'm free of that because God has forgiven me. That's an important thing. That's a really important thing. The other thing I wanted to touch on this morning as I get ready to close is this. Sometimes we don't fully understand what it really means and how we receive Christ into our heart. And it's really simple. It is really simple. God doesn't make this some big, huge to-do thing. There's two main scriptures that I want to show you this morning that specifically talk around how we gain salvation. The first one is this, and Caleb just had it up, Romans 10, verse 9 says this. If you say with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, then you will be saved. Next one, Caleb. You need to stay awake, buddy. With your heart you believe and are made right with God. With your mouth you say that Jesus is Lord, and so you are saved. Verse 11. Scripture says, the one who trusts in Him will never be put to shame. There is no difference between those who are Jews and those who are not. The same Lord is Lord of all. He richly blesses everyone who calls on Him. Scripture says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So according to that scripture, if you confess Jesus is Lord, you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you're going to be saved. That's what it takes to be a Christian. You have to truly believe in your heart that He was who He said that He was, that He did raise from the dead, that God did raise Him from the dead, and confess with your mouth. When Jesus says, who do you say that I am? You say, God, you're the Messiah, and I want you to be the Lord of my life. I want to give myself to you, and I want you to come into my heart, and I want to serve you with who I am and the things that I do. The other scripture is this. It's in John 3:16. A lot of you guys have probably heard this scripture. It says, God loved the world so much that He gave His one and only Son. Anyone who believes in Him will not die, but will have eternal life. God did not send His Son into the world to judge the world. He sent His Son to save the world through Him. Again, Christ came into this world to save us, to allow us to have eternal life through Him. But it takes us to answer that question that Jesus asked His disciples years ago, who do you say that I am? And once we can truly answer that question for ourselves, who do we say Christ is? Once we can answer that question for ourselves, God will turn around and He'll begin to tell us who we are in Him. And we need to hold on to that. We need to hold on to what God says about who we are, because that's important. We're not who the world says we are. We're not who our friends say we are. We're who God says we are. And God says that we are loved, that we are His kids, that we are His children, that we're going to have eternal life, that we are the light of the world, that we are all of these things through Him, and we need to hold on to that. And so I want to challenge you guys with that this morning, that when you leave this morning, I want you guys to think about that. Where do you put your value? Who do you put your value in? Is it based on what Christ says about you, or is it based on what the world says about you and the things that you're doing in your life? That's a big question. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to close this in prayer.